Right at it. Right at it!
Home!
He's done it again! Just as he did at the John Deere for his first win.
Good evening, good night, good morning, whenever you're listening to this. Welcome to episode 75 of the Go Get That podcast. Not really sure how to open this, but we are here. It is the review slash recap of the Arnold Palmer Invitational. And I really didn't know what I was going to say, but I'll just be honest. It was a devastating result for the Spieth camp, the Spieth fan camp. It was not fun. I wish I could say I enjoyed the week a little more, given I won over 500 Go Get That points, but it was,
congrats,
to say the least, not the I would not repeat that result, even if it meant the points were still there. So it's a yellow time. I think yellow is a good word to describe where we're at.
Interesting.
That's just like the feeling that's in the air.
Same more.
Just very yellow, you know, like
not green light, not red light.
It's like not there's it's not bright, but there's some brightness.
Okay.
But not really.
All right, I see what you're getting at.
It's, but like yellow also has like a
caution,
a sad tone to it as well. Sad tone to it as well. So I don't really know where we're going with this, but yeah. It was devastating to watch. It was pathetic down the stretch, to say the least. I'm not going to hold back on that. To miss four putts inside of 7 feet or 8 feet in the last five holes is
five in the last seven.
Yeah, it's something a professional golfer can't do.
Yeah, I agree. No, I fortunately I couldn't watch much of Saturday or Sunday, so I didn't see it live. I didn't see the pain of the short misses, particularly on Sunday. But I think there's a couple ways to look at it, right? And I'm sure we'll get into the specifics of Sunday in particular, because Spieth had the tournament in his hands with five holes to play, right? And that's a positive, because the way he had the tournament in his hands with five holes to play is he went and got it, right? He didn't just play pretty good Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then kind of have the lead just fall into his lap and then bottle it away. He went and got the lead on Sunday with an excellent first 13 holes. It, you know, showed he's still got some sack. He's still got some.
Oh, there was plenty of sack to be seen.
Some fist pump. I'm fairly confident he hit the over by like hole four on Sunday fist pumps this week.
There was quite a few. Yeah.
That was chilling. That was chilling. There was a fist pump on Saturday as well, I believe, when the 15 footer fell on the for par.
Saturday
was like a 25 footer. It was like 20 feet.
Was it 25?
It was a nice putt.
But there was definitely a chilling fist pump there.
Oh, Friday, not Saturday.
It was sad because, as much as I hate to say this, there rarely comes a point in the tournament where I'm like, oh my God, he's got this. That happened to Pebble last year. And unfortunately, I did find myself scrolling through Getty Images looking for winning photos, which is it's tough to look back on, because at the end of the day, I wasn't wrong to think that. He had the tournament. He was the heavy favorite at one point. Maybe not odds-wise, but
he was the favorite.
He was in control of the golf tournament. after he had made those few birdies and before Rory had birdied 13. But
Spieth got the 10 under and the winner was at 9 under. That kind of tells you everything you need to know.
And real quick before you keep going, that was with 5 holes to play. Not like it's not like he had, you know,
the final
winning score with 18 to play. There was four or five holes to play, and he had what he needed.
And I mean, you say what you want about Fit playing the last 5 and 3 over, but that is a stretch that he should definitely be able to play in even with the par 5-16 thrown in there.
Yep.
To say that he should be able to play it in 1 under might be a stretch. I would not be completely like I wouldn't be unsurprised by a bogey on one of those 4 holes, but to not make birdie on 16 as well, I mean, that should be played in even par. Rory talked about how he played it in +1, how that was not good enough.
You mentioned 16.
To just not even get into a playoff, though, it's
It's bad. You mentioned 16, definitely one of the talking points of the week. He played it in 1 under, which ain't gonna cut it when it's the easiest hole on the golf course. You know, he missed that fairway brutally both Saturday and Sunday. Missed a 6-footer. Not good. I think you're standing on that tee, you're thinking tap and birdie anyway, that you really don't want to have a 6-footer. But he had a 6-footer, which he missed. Just the wheels kind of came off down the stretch there. I think kind of in fairness to him, in terms of the ball striking, it wasn't necessarily great on Saturday either. It's not like Sunday when it during the back nine, like it was surprising.
It was another weird week when it came to like just what was happening. If you look at the putts down the stretch, this is one thing I want to say. The one on 16 hurt the most by so many tons, because the 5-footer on 14, I mean, it didn't even affect me. Like I felt like we were so due for one of those. The 3-footer or 3.5-footer that he missed on 15 was just such like a blur. Like I fully expect him to make that. For him to not make that, it was just kind of like, okay. But at the same time, everyone was collapsing. So I felt like we still like had a chance because no one wanted to win the tournament. I thought he was going to make the putt on 16. I was at a point where I was like, listen, he's missed 3 in a row. Like, one of these has to fall. And I remember standing up next to my TV and I chucked my hat against the wall when he missed. And it was so devastating because I really thought that was going to go in, would have completely changed things. I think he would have parred 17 and probably would have been in the playoffs. So
My emotion with every missed putt just got even more frustrated. It sucks too, because I think I was talking to Dan about this because Dan couldn't watch Sunday. I think of the 4 putts, like only one was a bad stroke. I know, but it's really tough to have like what 3 6-footers, give or take, and misread all of them. I really think that was the case, and there's no excuse for that. I mean, he's a professional golfer, you gotta read greens, and we've discussed that with no greens reading, with no, book for a while now, thinking that, you know, that may have affected him. Very well could have, not to put it on the, you know, the book, but hasn't putted well since he's lost it. And the putter kind of cost him a trophy this week, which is interesting.
I won't lie. I know that Jordan was talking in the chat yesterday and he was sort of debating me on this, and I think he's sort of come to his senses now. But regardless of the fact that he putted well early, I do still think that the putter is like I just at the end of the day, I understand he didn't strike the ball well. I understand he putted well early, but the short misses like that is not something a professional should do. A professional is going to miss fairways. A professional is going to make 20-footers. You can't miss 4 putts inside of 8 feet and in a round in a 2-day stretch
specifically. Yeah.
And to do it in 5 holes is within contention is it's embarrassing. And I'm sure, and he knows that, like, there's no way that this isn't going to keep him up just a little bit more than some of the other losses might have, because we already talked about how we don't think he deserved RBC. We already talked about how he definitely deserved Pebble, but he kind of just got outbeat by a guy on the back nine. Same thing with KH Lee. This one, that was his tournament to lose, and he did. And it sucks because at the end of the day, that was a vintage first 13 holes. I mean, the driver was going everywhere. He was making every putt. There was a cockiness to his step when he was putting, which was glorious to see. I mean, it was so fun to watch. And I mean, that chip in, man, on five. That it was like, that's something the 2015 speed did. It gave you that glimpse back in for 13 holes. And then even the save to get it to 4 feet on 15.
That was a great shot.
Yeah.
I mean, to blow that away. I mean, it's just that you can look at so many different spots. And listen, I don't want to hang up on the putting too long, because at the end of the day, there were some real issues with the ball striking this week. And I'm sure we can get into the injury as well too, but,
Yeah. I think it's easy to look back at the last four holes, specifically 14 through 17, and point to the putter. But really, like, the momentum after he didn't get on, like, I wasn't watching, but 50 feet from, what was it, on 14, on just in the right intermediate, the par three.
Yeah. Like,
that's, I think he gets that up and down 85 to 90 times out of 100. Yeah. Right? Like that to not get it with inside of 5 feet, closer than five feet.
You're very right about that. Like, there were some bad shots like those, or like sloppy shots coming home as well.
Right. And so that on 14 blew momentum. 15, if that putt goes on 15, I think he wins the tournament. Because I think resets everything. It's like, what a par. Goes and gets 16. We'll see what happens 17. But he at least puts himself in a playoff, I think. I think it saves him both a stroke on 15, but then a stroke either on 16 or 17 as well.
For sure.
Just momentum purposes. But, I mean, yeah, it's hard to complain about. Obviously, 15, you'd like to play it, make it easier so that he has two putts to make a par or whatever, because 15, you're just trying to make four and go. But if you hit it to 4 feet, you got to make that putt. Yeah. But then 16, I think, is the one that's one. It's like, all right, the tournament's still there. You're reeling a little bit. And you don't even come close to hitting the fairway. Like, that should be one where it's
2 days in a row.
Yeah, fairway, or even like just off the fairway, and you get a pretty decent lie, middle of the green, and
two putts. Yep.
And you walk to the next hole with a little bit, you know, a deep breath, a better sense of where your footing's at in this tournament, and kind of like, all right, I'm okay. I made a couple mistakes, but back in it. And Spieth makes mistakes, right?
Yeah,
especially more than most, but. To not be able to reset after 16 or after 15, but really after 14, like, it just is one of those where just needed like one of them to go and it would have stopped the bleeding, but it just kept, there was no bandage. Yeah, right.
And at the same time, I feel like you look at it, it hurts from perspective, because we always talk about the Keegan Bradley effect and how, like, well, we can't even get one of those weeks where we're hitting the ball well and the putts just fall. Like, we kind of got that on the weekend, up until those last few holes, and his ball striking disappeared. Which is just as frustrating. Like, putting together a winning golf game for 72 holes is a very tough thing to do, as we have seen. And I will give a lot of credit to Kirk Kitayama for doing what he did this week. To make two sevens on the weekends, that's not something Jordan Spieth does and wins right now. Regardless,
it takes a lock. I mean, it takes a lock.
I'm not saying that people didn't help him out, but
yeah. But Kitayama grinded to even par for the weekend.
He grinded very well this week, and that's something that we're sort of missing in Spieth's game right now.
That's fair. I mean,
he grinded great on Sunday, though, until
he did
the last part.
No offense to Kurt, too. He What did he shoot? One over or even on Sunday?
Even.
It was even. Even Saturday and Sunday.
Which is a good score.
Well, I think the course actually played under par on Sunday. Yeah. It's a great win for him, but like, not just Spieth, all of the big names had a great. Scotty was the odds on favorite at one point. Rory was the odds on favorite. Victor. They all collapsed. Yeah, or Victor. They all collapsed RBC style. And it's nothing against Kurt, but to have all of those big names.
It was lucky.
It was just like Spieth at RBC, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Just I want to go back to Spieth for 1 second, talking about 16. And Dan kind of mentioned just like, you know, you missed the putt on 15. I think you're exactly right. I think if he misses that putt on 15, we maybe get a much better tee shot on 16. But that's just how he is. You know, he makes a bogey, very much the post-bogey F-up.
Yeah. Well,
because you don't stand on 16 tee thinking about making a six-footer for birdie. I mean, Rory had like 170 yards in with a second from the fairway.
Yeah. He's playing downwind, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's an easy green to hit in two. And, you know, you make the layup, you're putting so much extra stress on yourself.
Yeah. I will say on Sunday, I thought one of the issues throughout the week was short scoring wedges. I thought on Sunday they were a lot better. Wedge play in general, right? Like the one on 16 was good. That was 84 or whatever yards, throw it to 5-6 feet. The one on 12 was about 8 feet.
10 was really good.
10 was a great shot. 13 was a pretty darn good shot with the wedge. Obviously the 50 yard pitch out of the rough on 15 was fantastic.
Yeah,
I think he still threw way too many shots away over the course of 72 holes with the,
yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, he left
the yard range.
He left.
And he threw a lot of shots away on all parts of his game. Really, which is tough because he really should have won this week, and he could have won this week in so many different ways.
He didn't play good enough to win, but he played good enough for it to fall into his lap.
Absolutely. He played good enough for on Sunday. He should have been able to win many different ways on that back nine.
I'll say that it sort of fell into his lap as well, particularly after Saturday, which we've kind of forgotten about, because like if he shot a 70 on Sunday, which he did, but if he shot it where like he played the front and one under and he played the back and one under, it'd be like, had some chances, but just never got there. Like he grabbed it on Sunday and he took that tournament, right, and had it by the throat, so to speak. And then I think what happened was, I know he said he didn't look at the leaderboard, but I think when it really mattered, it got tough to trust some of the stuff that he's been working on the greens. I don't know, people have probably seen he had like an alignment stick on his shoulders. Been a little bit more hunched over.
Good Lord.
Which honestly, like, it looks awkward, but I think the stroke looks a lot
it's getting there.
There were a lot more confident
strokes. I was just happy to see him trying something.
Yeah,
right, it looked different, which was good. But then I think like when it really matters, sometimes it can be tough to trust that when you've only been working on it, at least in the public eye, for probably a week, right? Like we didn't really see it much at Genesis. And he certainly put a lot of pressure on those putts. And I think the weird thing about it though, too, was like he made every big putt on the front pretty much.
Oh yeah.
And then that was, and then
it was something.
Once he missed one, he missed four, and it was like, oh,
because
that's just a killer.
It was
way
so great to see, because he was making putts that you're like, okay, he's made it. Like, there's no chance that he can keep doing this. Like, we haven't seen that in so long.
Right, and if he had made three of the final four and closed it out at 10 under, that would be like the best putting we've seen from him in probably 6 years. Or not 6 years, but in a winning performance, right? In 6 years.
It would have been one of the best final rounds of his career, no doubt.
Sure. Yeah. Just to overall, you know, a 67 on Sunday to chase down, to beat that, one that group of players, and, you know, chase down the leader and do it in the way that he did. Like, it just would have, I think what hurts about this one is that, like, it would have been his biggest win in 6 years almost.
Yeah.
you know, both for OWGR, FedEx Cup.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just vaulted him back into the top 10 in the world. Going into, and, you know, we talk about it in the season preview, like, we want to win before Augusta. And that would have done nice. That. Like, it would have been like, man, Spieth is like, he speaks.
Especially given how,
you know,
awful we've talked about him so far this year.
Right.
And now, all of a sudden, he's won one of the biggest events of the year.
Yeah.
And we're not even at the Masters yet. All of a sudden, we're talking about 8, 9, 10 shot victory at Augusta.
It's 4 or 5 right now, dude.
Yeah.
It could have been much more.
Maybe 6. That was a pretty good putting performance. It might be 6. But,
yeah. We'll see. It was, I will say too, like, it was nice to see. I think he made like a 25 footer every round.
Yeah.
You know, and that hasn't happened in a long time.
Yeah.
I don't think. I guess maybe Saturday he didn't. Saturday he did basically nothing.
Yeah.
Saturday was bad.
Saturday was not good. And I think if we're looking at it big picture, I think you point to Saturday as, obviously Sunday's easy to point to, but Saturday was the day that he kind of lost, because Kitayama wasn't great either. And if Spieth shoots 1 under Saturday, like, I think he has a much better grip on the tournament going into Sunday. But
let's not forget the 2-shot swing on 18 on Sunday. What did Spieth lose by?
2.
Kitayama makes from 15 feet and Jordan misses a 6-footer on 18 on Saturday. There's your 2 shots right there. I mean, you can do that at any point in the week, but like Jordan mentioned after the round, like how big those 2 shots could be. And you kind of, yeah. I mean, that hurt. That hurt.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's tough, but.
I mean, I don't know. You know, it
definitely should. It's definitely a lot of positives. It's just kind of tough to talk about them given how.
Yeah, it should hurt. I think as a fan, I've said, I didn't even watch, and it still, like, looking back at like stories or tweets, it's like it just, I was not really expecting when I saw where he hit it on 14. I thought, all right, should be able to make a 3 there, and then please just somehow scrap out a 4, even a 5 on. I was thinking play 15, 16, no worse than even. If you get through 14, play those 2, no worse than even par. Played them in 1 over, and it just, the momentum just snapped. It was crazy.
Yeah. From an unbiased perspective, looking at the tournament as a whole, I think my biggest takeaway from this week is that the elevated events are a huge success.
Yeah.
For Spieth or just for golf?
Just golf. For golf in general. I mean, you look at the elevated events we've had so far this year, they are, it's nonstop stardom at the top of the leaderboards, which is really cool to see. This is not something you see even at the big weeks. You always have it. And I know Kitayama won this week at like 300-1, but like, still Spieth, Rory, Scheffler, Rahm led after the first round. It was just, it's star after star after star on these leaderboards.
Yeah.
And that's huge for the tour. It's huge for the tour. All of these finishes recently have been really exciting. Even the one at the Honda, because it kind of gave you a nice little story there with Eric Cole and Chris Kirk. Like the new setup is, it's getting very positive feedback from me so far.
Yeah. And even to your point about like Kitayama, that's like, I think to me, that's the underrated fun part of these events.
Yeah.
Is that
that's a
guy
huge
like
win for him.
Kurt Kitayama can win $3.5 million by playing a golf tournament like this, because that guy's grind. I mean, people have tweeted about it. He's been on like every tour basically in the world. And if you look at the tour posted a video of him walking into Sawgrass. He just looks like the most normal dude. Like he's like 5'7". There's nothing like overly special about like his stature or his like swag or anything like that. And he's $3.5 million richer. Like that's
into all the majors now too.
Right. All the majors. Yeah. And you saw it a little bit at Genesis when, Rahm pulled away, but like Keith Mitchell was in that final group, I'm pretty sure. And obviously Keith Mitchell's had more stature than Kitayama did, but that was fun. Phoenix, we saw Nick Taylor, right, go toe-to-toe with Scheffler for a bit on that back nine. So you get the best players in the world competing against each other more often at the top, and you get a chance for somebody who maybe isn't as well known to have the weekend of their life. And even if they've come up a little bit short, they still get a massive life-changing payday. So the elevated events have really, really worked out well. The part about them next year not having cuts, I think, is interesting, to say the least. We'll have to see what the schedule looks like, but I think it's kind of hopefully there's not actually like too many of them. We'll get into that more in future episodes, but to your point, Bob, like, these have been a lot of fun.
Yeah,
a lot of fun.
I'd agree. I want to go back to Spieth for a second, because I was thinking about this last night. I did this Q&A with my followers because, like, people were pissed, and, like, you know, I get it. So I wanted a bunch of basically vent to me, tell me your thoughts. I get back to people, and I did that earlier today. We're recording this Monday, which is kind of nice. I was happy we didn't have to do this instant. Like, Dan could not do it last night on Sunday night, so we did it tonight, which was kind of nice because this was a very weird, weird week. But I was thinking about this and why I wasn't that upset. Number one, Jordan did not deserve to win. This was very RBC like. Had he had won, he would have lucked his way into it. We were thinking, you know, 64 to 66 to win the day, and he did nearly do that, so more credit to him. But again, my main takeaway was that Jordan Spieth has not put himself in the picture enough to deserve a win like this. I can guarantee you one of Rory or Scotty will be up there next Sunday at the Players. That's what I want from Spieth. I think that's what all three of us want. We need contention to be a regular thing, not a, okay, we need to pick one off here. Because you don't deserve to win if you put yourself in the picture. I think Bob said this in one of our group chats, like, three times a year. Yeah. You need to put yourself in there 8 to 10 times. And I had a follower who, like, agreed with me. And he told me, Spieth runnered up 5 times in 2015.
Yeah.
He won
5 times.
Exactly. That's what, obviously.
I didn't even know that. I obviously watched, but, like, I don't remember that, but, like, that's
he's in
that makes his 2015 wins. Five wins, five top.
He had a third and two fourths too. Like, we don't need that level, obviously, but if you're putting yourself in the picture that many times, you're going to snag a few. And that's really what the next step is. And he kind of alluded to it after the round. Like, I haven't been here in a while, like, you know, with a really good chance to win on the back nine. It's probably been what, since the Scottish.
Yeah, I don't even know if – I mean, the Scottish, he was in it for half a hole.
Well, like, I was talking in the chat, like Jordan said, besides 2021, since 2018, there have been about 3 Sundays a year where we're in deep, deep contention.
Good enough.
Yeah.
Besides 2021.
Only 3 last year.
And this might be one of them this year. So that makes the loss hurt even more. And second of all, it's not unacceptable to only be in contention at that level.
I think Jordan's point, like, makes one, I agree with it. It makes a lot of sense, right? Because 2021, it was Phoenix, Pebble, API, Augusta, sort of
Valero,
Augusta,
the Open,
like that's
better.
Two of them are majors, and that's 5 total. And like Genesis, he was like kind of lurking, finished T15 or whatever. But and like, would you count Phoenix? Phoenix wasn't serious contention, but so I don't think I'd count it as a chance to win.
How many was he back going into Sunday?
It was like 4.
See, 4 is like the number, like, man. That's kind of like this week, but obviously.
And, he started like 1 under through 6 when Scheffler was like it got to, the lead got to 5 or 6 over Spieth pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Probably not. So, you know, we mark one up, you know, my name on our little thing here on YouTube is one result down, more to come.
Dan, just
for results before, but
he actually going into Sunday in Phoenix, he was tied for the lead to start the day. So I'd consider that one too. He was at 18 under with Xander.
Oh, in 2021. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Were you saying 22?
Yeah, I was thinking this year.
I apologize. My apologies.
But you're right. Yes, 2021 definitely had a lot of chances. And I think that was disappointing that he only came away with one at Valero. But
yeah.
You know, to play, I think too, it was just nice to see 12 putts through 11 holes. I mean, the first 13 holes were unreal, but 12 putts through 11 holes on a Sunday. That's going to get you places.
It was just fun. Like, I mean, I know you didn't watch, Dan, but like, I know for me and Jordan, there's nothing that gets us going quite like the putts falling like that. I mean, it was so fun to watch.
He made everything the first.
He made everything, including the chip. So
like, as he would say, there were so many bonuses. Like, I mean, they weren't darts. I mean, he was just making everything from outside of 10 feet.
Right. But in sometimes, like, to Bob's point about like the Bradley week, like this was kind of his Bradley day.
It was, that was my point.
13 or 14 holes. And
he didn't win,
you know, and to be fair, like Bradley doesn't win. He pops more than he wins as well. Right, yeah, like his putter pops and you get a good result. And obviously now this is two T4s at Arnie's place, which makes you wonder, like, well, why didn't you come here before?
Well, if he ever skips again, I'm quitting.
The fandom's announced. The fandom's
Well, I don't think
announced.
He announced
the podcast. Will
I don't think he can skip again though.
No, but if it's not elevated, like
Elevated though, because it's Arnie's. It will always
is
be
it always going to be elevated. All right, then
I don't know. You never know. I mean, Waste Management Phoenix Open is not elevated.
No, but that's it's not because nobody. I'm pretty sure they said that Riv. Memorial and Arnie's place; those are up there. Like you go to those. Good.
That makes sense because you look at those golf. The players love those golf.
They
Jordan,
rotate.
What?
Because the other four that are rotated are this year are Phoenix, Wells Fargo is another one this
year.
The Travelers is the other one, and
Match Play.
Well, Match Play's gone.
Yeah,
Match Play. But yeah, so Match Play is the fourth one, I believe.
But so Jordan, what would you do if Jay Spieth ever decided to play the elevated 3M Open over the Arnold Palmer Invitational and chose the Arnold Palmer Invitational as this one elevated event to skip?
I'd lose it. I think we'd all three lose it, dude. Like, are you kidding me? No,
he's going back there.
Yeah. All right. I want to move on because I know Dan has to go soon, but like I do want to bring up the back. I don't know what you guys saw on it. He was definitely uncomfortable. It could just be like a pulled muscle, like
we all play golf at least a little bit, and we've all had those swings where it's like that didn't feel great, like whatever it was. I don't know. I've been meaning to do this, but on 11, are we sure he hit driver?
No, he didn't.
Nearly guarantee he did not, because he was piping driver after that. Like,
well, because I was gonna say, like, on TourCast, you can see the ball speed on when he hits it. So I was gonna look that up and see what it was, but I just haven't. It's been a
because if
very quick 24 hours here. For
if
me,
that was
so.
A driver, that would be concerning. But no,
right, I don't think it was. I think he. Kind of was trying to plot his way around 11.
Yeah.
Because also too, that front right pin, if you lay back, you have somewhat of an angle. I know he went a little bit long, but and with those firm greens, I'm not sure it's the greatest play hitting a 6-iron in there or whatever it was, but because also the wind was into, I'm pretty sure, on 11. So hitting driver, the water's in play for all of it, unless you take iron. But I'm not too concerned about the back. Obviously, he's been upgraded to questionable on a very reliable source on Twitter. So that's good news for the Spieth fans and Spieth camp.
Let it be known that minutes before we started recording, he was doubtful to finish the players.
Yeah. I will say, I mean, you know, I just made a joke about at the expense of this account. It's kind of helpful because whoever they are actually digs up quite a bit on people.
Clearly.
Like he's had a, I mean, I know tracking Hideki's pretty good. The rankings are a little weird, like questionable, doubtful for golfers.
Doubtful is not a word that you should be throwing around.
But like Hideki,
because if you're changing someone from doubtful to questionable, that means they were never really doubtful.
Doubtful never plays in the NFL. So like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's also, yeah. And it's
doubtful is out with a hedge just in case something fluke happens.
Right. And but I do think it's valuable to like, I think it's a good idea because
it is a good idea.
You know, if you're playing guys, especially for like top 40s or daily fantasy, it's important to know that like, hey, this guy's had a rib injury. Like I think Lonto Griffin has a rib injury, or had a rib injury a month ago or so. So it's like, hey, he's coming off a rib injury. He hasn't played a lot. Take that into consideration, right? Like Johnny Vegas was on there for a while. Obviously Hideki's on there now with his neck problems. So I do think it's a good idea, but you know, the ranking stuff needs to be figured out a little bit. But in terms of speed, he's fine. He'll be there at the Players. I'm sure he's getting treatment on it.
Yeah. I would like to and obviously we'll have more discuss the Players about some of the other news. I don't want to talk about today, but the match play being gone is a travesty. So I just wanted to get that out there. But
yeah, it does kind of suck.
Of all the progress PGA Tour has made this year, they really took a step back. Yeah, that's a fun week.
Yeah, I don't know why they don't want match play at all.
I think like, I know why.
Why is that?
I don't think the Players like it. And like, really? I shouldn't say that. I think some of them do not. I don't think they like, you lose your first match, the odds of you getting out of your group are slim.
That's a good
you
point.
Need luck, number one. So after 18 holes, I mean, your week basically might be over. Barring any
lose.
Luck. Huh? Don't well, lose. Yeah, I hear that. Well, I don't disagree with that.
Yeah. And
if you shoot 80, your week's over too.
Well, I agree.
Yeah, but you can shoot 66 shoot.
If you shoot 80, yeah. You're in garbage time by the back nine.
Yeah. No, you, yeah, that could be true. And honestly, like, yes. I'm not the biggest match play fan, but it is nice to mix it up a little bit.
I won't lie, nice. At the match play there is tons of garbage time.
Yeah, oh for sure.
We haven't had to like track a Spieth match where he's like been fully eliminated.
Speaking of garbage time,
oh I wouldn't, I don't think I'd track if Spieth is fully eliminated and if he was playing like Weisberger, then I would
track. Yeah, the speaking of garbage time, Sam Burns entered garbage time quite early this past week. He was on featured groups with Spieth, and he lost that. Have you guys seen how much he lost on approach this week?
He lost like 6 in one round.
No, but I will be.
Do you have a guess?
Placing him to miss cut at the Players.
Take a guess. Two rounds. How many did he lose total?
8 or 9?
He lost 9. 9 total shots.
Tough
on approach.
Scene for Mr. Burns. Tough scene.
It was really bad.
Mr. Burns played 11 holes too many that week.
Yeah,
that was his worst iron player out of his career.
Yeah,
we were calling on him
on Friday. He should have just hung it up and left.
There was a time where Mr. Burns was hacking it up on the 16th, and the group in front of them were walking up to Arnold's beautiful 18th green, while Burns was like foot in the water, making an 8
on 6.
It was on 16.
Yeah, 16. He had some moments too.
So I remember six was awful.
6 was bad too.
He had multiple moments.
Yeah, it's just not a good week for Sam. He's been playing so poor, and like the Valspar's coming up soon. But
he played well in Phoenix. I was looking at it. He played well in Phoenix. Played well at 8. But
yeah, the thing about Phoenix though, I think he just had like. He just had kind of like Spieth. He just had one really good round.
Funny thing about Sam Burns, someone came up to me a few weeks ago and told me he's a top 15 player of the last 2 years. I thought that was really interesting because if you look at it, he might be.
I think he is. Well, he won 3 times last year.
Yeah, if you look at it, he kind of is.
He won
Chicken Box.
He won Valspar. He won Colonial. And
then he won the Sergio Garcia Invitational.
He won the Chicken Box.
Yeah. Oh, the Chicken Box. That's right. Yeah. No, so he's been good. And to see him struggle like that, it was funny because with the way Homa's been playing. Homa was in that group with Spieth, didn't have a great day, it looked like, but on Sunday. With the way Homa's been playing, when Burns first kind of won and started playing well, and then when Homa, they were about the same time, right? They both kind of rose. I thought Burns would have the career that Homa is having, and Homa would have the career that Burns was having.
Intriguing.
And in a sense, like, because Burns is really, he's picked off two Valspars and two Sanderson Farms. Is that right? Or just one Sanderson Farm? I don't know
we
how
need
many
Steve at the Sanderson Farms.
Well, he won't if he keeps his card.
He is elevated at the Sanderson. Oh, is the fall, it's going to be a developmental.
The fall is going to be like the 70 to 125 or 150 for the rest of guys to keep their card.
That sucks.
But yeah, it's just been weird to see Homa win all these. I mean, he's won a lot in California, and he's picked off two Fortnites and two Wells Fargos, but he's won more than Burns has, and I thought that'd be flipped. And it was just a funny
Homa's the better ball.
I was thinking
striker.
About it as Burns put another one in the drink on eight or something like that.
It's a tough
but
week.
It was a really tough week for Mr. Burns.
I wanted to just add, because I didn't really get to get my input in on the back. I'm not really worried. I was kind of worried because, like, when it happened, I think it was 10. We got to see a bunch of awful drives, but then he went down 18 and he just hit a beautiful tee ball down 18. And then after the round, he didn't talk about the back. And I know a lot of people are like saying, like, well, no one asked him about it, which is true. I don't think he does media if it's a big issue with the back. I highly doubt he would stand there, and he'd probably look in pain or something. He was smiling. I don't know why he should be smiling after what happened, but
I think he was in shock.
Yeah, I think he was too. But we're recording this on Monday night. He'll talk Tuesday when this will be out. Tuesday morning, he'll talk, and I'm sure he'll be asked about it. But of now, not really any concern.
Well, yeah. The question should be: so you were listed as doubtful earlier this week. Now moved up to questionable. How's the back feeling for you?
Where did that report come from?
Yeah. No, I it's interesting because I mentioned the video of Kitayama today, and literally right as it starts, it's Spieth pulling up in his car with that Under Armour hat with Under Armour written on it. I thought that hat was gone, but anyway. And it's just saying like, hey, good job. You know, you played well or whatever. I think Bob, you posted the 5 seconds on your account. It's just like Spieth looks in pain. Like, I know he's got a little smile, but like he looked like he didn't sleep. He didn't sleep much Sunday night, I don't think.
Well, he's in the RV.
Well, that's true. But even then, like, and to your point about him smiling in the presser after, I think he doesn't quite know what happened.
Like, I think he didn't look at a leaderboard. Like, well, I mean, if he saw it on 17, he probably had a good eye feeling like, okay, I was there and now the lead's that. But it's very possible like he was unaware just a little bit.
Yeah. Well, Ben, what was the putt that he pushed? 14?
Oh, the one on 15 was right off 15. The blade. Right off the blade.
Yeah, I thought three of the four were good. And then the one I
thought actually the putt on 16 was really good.
He mentioned it after, like, two of them ended like right exactly in the middle behind the cup. Like, I mean, he also mentioned like a lot of times those are going to find lips and drop, but they didn't. But if he keeps putting, though, I think the way he putted this week, the stroke looked better. I didn't mention it, but in tournaments he's made the cut, it's the best he's putted since Memorial. Yeah. That's a nice step in the right direction.
Certainly was. And I mean, we'll talk about the players more, but obviously it's not his best spot. But it should. This feels different than Phoenix, and like that, it should kick on from here. You think, right? Like when he gets hot, he usually plays pretty well. Even in 2019, right, it was awful. And then I think he had four top 10 finishes in a row. In some capacity, it was like the PGA, or no, maybe maybe Byron Nelson, the PGA, Colonial, and then Memorial or something like that. So, or maybe just three.
Good stretch for him.
But, well, yeah, I mean, he made every putt those 4 weeks or whatever it was. But just kind of, he kind of rides momentum. And Genesis, I think, looking back on it, he hit the ball really well at Genesis. He just absolutely bottled four footers. So, you know, I think it seems like it's going to start kicking on here. And as we go to a place that it has not kicked on in 9 years, it'll be interesting to see which one kind of wins, which, you know.
He's playing with house money at Sawgrass. Like, we'll get into it, but, like, I mean, the history is so bad. Like, I mean, I don't really know what our expectations will be. We'll get into that in the preview, but, like, what do you got to lose, dude? You play horribly here. Just go out, you know, go in with a free attitude and see what happens.
Yeah, I'd agree. Should be a fun week at Sawgrass. We'll have a pod up on – it's not going to be live, I don't think, right?
No. Tomorrow? It's not a major.
That's a good point.
But we'll have Elise.
Yeah, well, that's what I was getting to. Elise, yeah. I need Elise's help because
– well,
Bob mentioned the leaderboard.
I was
going
to say, we have to talk about it at some point. It was a master class of a performance.
Yeah, of course, Rom had a 65 in him, and he pulled it out on Thursday and not.
He played terribly the rest of the way.
That was a brilliant bet for me. It looks too easy, but John Rom should never be almost triple his outright number to lead in the first round. Anytime Rom is more than like one and a third multiplied by his outright number, automatic bet.
So you'll be on him again this week?
What's his outright? What's his first round leader?
I think he's 850 and his first round's like 20.
Oh, absolutely. I will 100%. Yes, I will be on him again.
That's right there.
I will be on him again. And it's 5 to 10 bets at the players, so I'm going to have to fiddle around with that. I'll probably have a few outrights, but
yeah,
at least coming on will be nice for you too. Since I'm back in the green.
So
Jordan had what'd you get? Did you get anything, Jordan?
I got unlucky. Yeah. I had on Sunday, I had Scotty outright, and I also had Ricky to top 10, which at the beginning of the day looked, you know, half decent, but he's Ricky and but
can't put faith in Flower.
Yeah, we should add. Elise wanted to come on. Like, we didn't have to beg her. Like, Elise.
Yes. Yes.
We've
That's
made
a
progress.
Good point. We're she wanted to come on. To be fair, she is back. She was on baby duty,
maternity leave
from gambling.
Baby duty.
So her being back, she kind of just wants to get back in the swing.
Yeah.
Last week was very unlucky for her because she had Spieth and Hovland outright, and neither of them hit.
You can't bet Hovland, man. That dude.
She does it with pleasure.
Yeah. No. I don't think she bet Spieth last week with much pleasure either. No. But here's what I'll say about just one more Spieth thing, and it's kind of just also a shot at, like, Victor Hovland. Spieth, and Kyle Port talks about this a ton, or did when Spieth was playing well. It's like, he has a feel for the tournament. Like, he knew on Sunday that he could go grab it, right? He thought he would take more than thought it'd take more than 67. But right out the gate, you see, it's like, all right, putts are, one, they're getting to the hole, and two, he's giving them a chance. Like, he's leaving them, they're not missing low. And then you can kind of sense, one, the momentum, but also, like, yeah, I'm playing my way back into this. And Hovland did that on Saturday, and then Sunday he just collapsed. Like, where'd you go, you know? And it's time for him to, like, win something, because he gets put in this, like, category of elite players, and he's an elite ball striker. Short game is not good, but you haven't won on the continental states yet, and you're supposed to be in the class of Colin Morikawa, who's got two majors, and you've got, I guess you were there at St. Andrews, and then you got dusted on Sunday again. Like, I don't know why I'm going off on Hovland here, but it made me a little mad to see him three over on Sunday, because he's an awesome player, and he's actually a really cool dude. Like, I know bad blood toward Hovland as a human being at all. But it's like, man, just the Sundays are just never, ever good. Ever. Unless it's at Mayakoba or where do you win? Puerto Rico?
He won Hero.
Over in like Germany or something like that.
He's won Hero twice.
I just wanted to say this real quick about Victor Hovland. great players and even good players don't rinse that ball on 16.
No.
That is a terrible shot. To have 176 yards out in the fairway on a par five and miss that pin is.
He did that.
He put it in the water on 16 from 176 yards in the fairway with a nine iron.
The pin's on 27.
He came up short.
It was. He was 10, 12, 15 yards short. That's just a shot that you can't hit in contention.
Oh my goodness.
And he was plus 250 at that point. Like he was right in the tournament. He was at seven under. If he had birdied, it should have been a gimme birdie to get to eight.
Yeah, or eagle.
And I guess you can't expect him to get to nine, but.
Oh my God. I didn't even know that. And I was ripping him. That's awful. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it's really bad.
That's got to be painful for Hovland butters. I know a lot of people are back on. It's weird because like we're recording this Monday, which was kind of nice to kind of digest what occurred Sunday.
Yesterday would have been bad. I would have like.
But with all the stuff going on for the players, it's weird to talk about like last week. Like we already have tee times for the players.
It's players week down.
A player.
But I don't want to talk about players right now.
We gotta save it.
Go listen to that. We're on the edge, folks. We are on the edge.
We'll see you in
It is the week. Hold on. It is the week of the greatest theme song.
Yes.
In sports. Maybe better than the Backyardigans in general.
Theme songs.
I don't even know if it's the greatest. It's probably the greatest one in golf.
I'm kidding. It's definitely not.
It's really good though. And it's just good. Theme song season.
It is theme song.
It kicks it off, you know.
It does kick it off. The There's nothing like the thing about it is and we're not gonna get into a tangent about this, but I can really vibe to it for a week. That's it.
You hear that song, weird. You know the players. Like the tour did a good
job. You know
job.
That it just means more. All right, that's good enough for today. I know a lot of people were anticipating this episode, so glad we get up to you. Definitely better we did today than yesterday because I would have been saying that his career was over. I was so hurt yesterday. I would have been talking about what were the next steps in Q school in a few years. I would have been all over the place, but thankfully I settled down. But
Peace,
I think
relax. Yeah. Heads up, we have three more opportunities.
Talking Q school after a T4 at an elevated event. That's the funny thing is like it hasn't been that great, but two top six finishes and two of the elevated events this year. It's like,
and let's just be known, this is the last thing before we leave. We are still in an unfortunate putting recession, but maybe after a few weeks we can get out of it.
Maybe Sawgrass, like we might, you know,
maybe we'll be trending.
Sawgrass for Spieth does historically putt. Unbelievably, of course.
Yes.
So
an elite putter there.
Elite Sawgrass plotter. He plots his way around the course fantastically. Yeah. All right, that's enough.
Real quick about the recession, since you brought it up. This recession's lasting till at least Augusta. He has to putt well in a major before we can think about out of a recession. So
yeah.
But progress was made. It looks funny.
I think the recession might last until the FedEx Cup playoffs. We'll see.
That's fine. Speaking of FedEx, by the way, 71st now. Come on. Right outside the number four playoff. Andy moved up two in the OWGR to 15.
Thank you for the point.
And he's probably closer to Ryder Cup qualification as well.
I think he's 12th. He's 12th.
Also, Kitayama is 6th. Could you imagine? Better, if
please, please now, is please a, now, please now, please
goes
now.
Goes to
I'm just gonna go on a limb and say I can guarantee Kitayama will not be on that team.
He better make it on points because if
I might, I
yes,
might.
He will not be.
That,
he will not be picked.
Bob, you want to have a little bet on that?
You think he gets in?
I will put.
I don't know what I don't know if I want to. I just wanted like a friendly wager.
I'll put. How about this?
Oh boy.
I will put 50. Go get that point.
We're betting go get that point.
Kiriyama is not on the Ryder Cup team, which could make or break, Dan, you.
Only 50?
I'll do 100. I'll do a full week's worth.
If you do 100, I only have to give you 50, though, if he doesn't.
It's even money right now. He's sixth.
No, it's not.
Okay, but even if he goes up to ninth, he still kind of has to be picked as a captain's pick.
Oh, you were just saying if he doesn't get an automatic qualifying spot, he probably doesn't get picked.
Okay, but if he gets to like 11th or 12th, it's up to you. The deal is on the table. 100.
I'm not going even money.
100.
I'll go, dude, if I like pay you 100 and it moves me into SAT land because Kurt Kitayama didn't make the Ryder Cup team.
Nope.
If you do 100, I'll go 70.
Nope. 100 or no deal.
Okay. Well, I think maybe we bet something else, but we'll work on that.
I would love to see these side bets.
Kitayama's making the Ryder Cup team though.
But
I think he might win again this year.
Wow.
It's possible.
Wow.
All right. I guess it's time to wrap it up.
Yes.
Before I say anything more about Kurt Kitayama.
Yeah.
Becoming a major champion.
Kurt Kitayama's winning at LEC. Kurt Kitayama is chasing the career grand slam
at Royal Liverpool.
Yeah. We've already been going too long.
One more thing about Kitayama. That dude hammers it for how small he is.
He does. That line he took on six was crazy.
Yeah, like 180 plus ball speed consistently. He could actually be there at a bunch of majors. I won't lie about that.
And where's the Open?
Yeah, Liverpool.
Liverpool, 7-0 over Manchester United.
Okay.
Congrats to Jordan on that.
One, I didn't watch, which was fantastic.
Very lucky for you.
Two, we folded like, I don't know.
We scored 7 in honor of CR7, of course.
Yeah, that's
just wanted to throw in.
You guys got 7 goals on us. We've got 7 points on you in the table. So
that's
very fair.
The table's
very equal there.
Just wanted to say congrats to Arsenal on another comeback victory this weekend. I woke up at halftime.
Fierce opponent.
Reese Nelson, dude. 90 plus 7. Come on.
Which, by the way, is very controversial because a lot of people think that the whistle should have been blown a lot.
Yeah, it should have been blown at 90 plus 6. There was only 6 minutes.
Because there was no stoppages in the middle of it.
It was the official.
Anyway.
I will not apologize for celebrating that win. So
yeah, no, you should. Because you're going to, you're going to win the title. But also, like, Liverpool now are going
to
get
Congrats to Liverpool
top four.
On that victory.
They're going to get top four.
They probably are.
Because Newcastle's fallen off a cliff and Tottenham's Tottenham. So
I'd love to see Brighton get it, but
probably Brighton's got enough, But
Brighton losing Graham Potter and still making it while Potter's team loses after spending tons of money. But
yeah, that just means next September is going to be awesome, man. When Kitayama's bombing it in Rome and Mac Jones is leading the MVP race through 3 weeks.
All right. Good night.
It might be time to end it.
Good night. Peace.
Peace.